Welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Tuesday, March 31st. I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. I'm here today with Twins Daily and now Twinkie Town writer Cooper Carlson. Cooper, you've been writing for Twinkie Town for how long now?
It's been a few months. Well, actually, I started there. It was the first place I wrote. So I started there probably early March a year ago. And then I moved to Twinkie Town in about July because they wanted me to, they brought my podcast over there.
And right.
So then eventually I just went back to Twinkie Town as well, where they now brought my podcast to Twinkie Town and I still write at Twins Daily and Twinkie Town. So it's just, I'm switching all over. It's just
a lot of twin stuff. You're busy.
Right.
And how are you doing in the wake of everything as well?
Well, I mean, I'm just glad to come on here and after one of the best months we can remember in a long while, good March we had here, huh? How is it still going?
I know. And you know, I do have to ask you about this month. How was it for you? And, you know, what kind of was your, I want to hear a little bit of your story about, you know, what you went through with this and how quickly it happened for you.
Right. So I've got a pretty good story about it, actually. So we were planning on flying down for spring training games for the first time in my life. So we did that. We got to Florida, you know, kind of knew the circumstances. Nothing was really happening. But we left right as March Madness announces they won't be having fans. So I was like, all right, well, I guess that's happening. We land in Florida. I go on my phone. NBA and NHL have suspended their seasons. So I get there and all of a sudden it's like, well, am I even going to see a spring training game? And, you know, 2 days later, I'm at the beach. We're getting ready, about to leave, go to the Twins game for the night. And they announce spring training is over. So now we're in Florida. Yeah. Disease going or the virus going around in Florida. So we were going to stay for 2 to 3 more days, but we just ended up leaving like the next morning at like 5 a.m. because it was like, well, what are we even doing here now? Got to get home, get safe, you know, quarantine, which I've been doing, which it is what it is. You know, I've got back to MLB.
So you were down there. Yeah, we're playing a lot of PS4. Right. So you were down there, which is, I mean, I know you were looking forward to that trip. I had a blast there. Right. Just luck of the draw, I went a week earlier.
Right.
You know, that's a huge bummer that you didn't get to go. And we know it's bigger than baseball, but the last time we talked, Cooper, was January 23rd on the show. Much has happened, including the coronavirus stuff. But I want to ask you about the first thing that took place. A couple weeks after we talked, Donaldson had signed, I think, a week before you came on. It was like January 15th or something like that. But you came on right in the middle of the Donaldson signing and the Kenta Maeda trade. So the Twins traded Bruzar Graterol for Kenta Maeda. A lot has been said, written, and, you know, just talked about for this trade. But what did you think of the deal at the time? How have your emotions or reactions changed since the deal went down? And kind of what was your instant reaction to it? Because I know it kind of varies for a lot of people.
Yeah, so I went back and forth on this probably 100 times. Instantly, I guess I can't say I didn't like it. I know I try not to react to really anything instantly, but I was like, all right, it's, you know, Graterol, big prospect for Maeda. He's 4 ERA guy, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I looked into it more. You know, Graterol, he's a relief pitcher in the long run, I think. It's a relief pitching prospect, potentially a really good one, like upside of Josh Hader out there. But, I mean, you know, the upside, that's the upside. You don't know what the other side of the coin is. And so I thought, in the end, it's a good deal. They're playing into a win-now sort of mode. I like Maeda a lot, and they wouldn't have made this deal, I don't think, if they knew they wouldn't, you know, potentially have baseball this year, because that this season is one of the best ones we'll get from Maeda, obviously, just with age and such. But yeah, I guess I like it. In the end, I would I don't know. I would have done it still. I guess it's tough. Yeah.
So how would you compare? Because, you know, we talked about, and of course the prime guy was Zach Wheeler, and I think you and I talked about that either on your podcast or on here. But how do you think Maeda lined up? And I know you wrote about this.
Yeah.
How do you think Maeda lined up with Bumgarner and Ryu and Keuchel and Odorizzi and those guys? Where do you think he fit in there in that free agent pool?
Right. So if he was a free agent, I would have put him behind Wheeler, behind Ryu, ahead of Bumgarner. And, you know, he would have been probably barely fourth. All those, the top four guys there, Wheeler, Odorizzi, Ryu, and Maeda, they all kind of blend together. You know, they're getting sort of the same thing, just a little bit better from some. But I put it like this. You only get Josh Donaldson if you have Kenta Maeda, because you're paying Wheeler, Ryu, Bumgarner, etc. 20+ million dollars, and for Maeda, it's like what, ranging from 2 to 10 million. It's a weird contract, right. But
three and a half, three guarantees, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, exactly. He's averaged I think $8 million per season in his first 4 years of that deal. So I mean, even then, that is a ridiculous bargain. That's like a 4 year, you know, $32 million deal, which is just absolutely nuts. But you're right; that's a really good point. I think that's the best point. Is that they wouldn't have been able to get Josh Donaldson. Maybe they would have also been stingy about the, you know, the periphery signings like Tyler Clippard re-signing Sergio Romo. I know those are kind of rounding errors as far as the money, but I mean, even then, I think they would have been a little tighter if they had made that big addition on the pitching market and extended, you know, gotten Zach Wheeler for 5 years and 125 is probably what it would have taken. I think they would have been a little more stingy with their money after that. You know, they wanted to add another good contract, and they have plenty of them. I know a big thing is, you know, is this core intact for the time being? I think it certainly is. And signing Max Kepler and Jorge Polanco was huge last offseason or last spring training. We'd love to see him resign or extend Jose Barrios. They extended Miguel Sano. We'd like to see Buxton too. I know you would. I would as well extend Buck 2020. But speaking of Mr. Kepler, who's your guy kind of, why do you think he could be a top 25 player? He was great last year. What's the next step and how can he get there?
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, he's my guy. I've sort of just adopted him on my Twitter page. I just love talking about Max Kepler. I think he's going to be great. Last year, he was among all, you know, just if you qualify by zero plate appearances on Fangraphs, he was fifth among all AL outfielders in WAR. I mean, that's obviously really good. Every year, he's increased his launch angle, hard hit rate, and decreased his ground ball rate. Which is, I mean, just leading to him getting the exit velocity that he's getting and the home runs he got last year. And now it's just put it all together. His BABIP every year, batting average balls in play, is one of the worst in the league. And I don't know why. It's kind of weird. So hopefully he can, if he can get that situated out, or how would I say that, just fixed, I guess, then
yeah,
I think he's got the potential to, as he showed last year, he was one of the best players, and he can just still take another step, which is unbelievable. The All-Star game last year, too.
From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast, and that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, so that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make my life easier with grocery delivery and whatever I can think of delivery too. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trips to the store, no more late night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON, all one word, LOCKEDON. For $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it.
Right. I think you look at his balls in play that aren't home runs, of course. So just batting average balls in play is low because he just has a tendency the way that he hits to pop balls up or weak grounders to the right side, or, you know, he's not really. When he hits the ball, he hits it hard, right? I think he is a guy, but I don't know if that points toward, you know, another step. Does his BABIP point towards another step? I don't know, because it's been that way his whole career, has it not? You know, so I don't know if that points to say, okay, maybe he can get his average up to the 280, 285 range. Is he going to be consistently like a 260 hitter, Cooper, with pop? Do you think there's more to that, to take that like Christian Yelich step, where he's getting and hitting 300 consistently with a lot of pop that we know he has from the left side?
Yeah, I mean, I'm perfectly fine if he just hits 260 to 270 his whole career. And just, I mean, because that, even that is like, if you're slugging what he did last year, just even more, you know, on base, he's getting on base walks and such. Like, he's been able to, and he keeps increasing that. You know, he can hit 260 and then slug, I mean, his OPS is near 900, which was for most of the year last year, and then he struggled a bit, got hurt in September. But yeah, I mean, he was performing really well all year, and then just kind of took a hit. So I don't know. It's about the average. I'm fine with his BABIP. If his BABIP stays where it is, I think it'll increase. If it stays, it's fine as long as he keeps his pop.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, sorry, you're cutting out a little bit. Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit. Yeah, that's okay. Okay, yeah, you were saying basically that his BABIP can stay the same. You're okay with him hitting consistently 260, 270, because I think of, I mean, we know batting average in the last few years has been ridiculed as a stat that's not always telling. I mean, Miguel Cabrera is going to consistently hit 280, 290, but is, you know, not good, right? I mean, I think... And it makes me think of another twin of Miguel Sano, who's probably never going to hit, you know, above 250, maybe even. The second half, he hit 255, I think it was, and he was monstrous in the second half. So he's just a guy that we look at, and maybe Kepler's that way too. But I just have to think that that BABIP, you know, batting average balls in play, can go up. I think he can. I think he can get there. But I agree with you. I think we'd be fine too if he consistently hit 260, 270. That would be just fine as well because he's got that pop. From the left side, absolutely. Cooper, you tweeted out an interesting proposition for Twins fans, and maybe Max is included. I'm sure he is. If there was an expansion draft, you could only select five players from the club. Who would you choose, and why did you choose these five and leave out some others? Maybe I'll give my picks, too.
Sure, yeah. So this, I just was thinking of it. I just, you know, not much to do. Came, popped in my head, and I thought, if there was an expansion, who would I protect? And I included minor leaguers because I figured, let's make it more interesting. We can do that here if you'd like. Yep. Doesn't really matter. Yeah, so even with minor leaguers, I went with Barrios, Kepler, and Buxton, I think three obvious ones. And the last two, between Lewis, Kirilloff, Polanco, and Sano. And I ended up taking Polanco and Sano. I took five guys who are currently on the team, four batters to protect if there was. I think it's they're the five that are the like main core of this team, and I keep that together because I think they're the five you can build around.
Yeah, I mean, I see that logic. I think there's – I was trying to think of it when you tweeted it out. I was trying to think of ways that you could go about it. Obviously, the biggest thing, I think, not only have these guys proven it at the major league level like, you know, all five of your guys have, but also what does their contract look like, right? I mean, you get Kepler and Polanco on those extensions. I think Kepler's five more years and Polanco's six with their team options. I mean, you compare that to Royce Lewis, who has six, essentially – but hasn't proven it at the major league level. And the edge is going to go to an all-star in Polanco and a soon-to-be all-star in Max Kepler. So I understand that logic. I think when you look at the prospects, if you were to take one prospect, we think of Royce Lewis because he's the number one prospect. But I think it's a good question because I think Royce, we know, is probably low floor, high ceiling. I think he, you know, looking at him and how athletic and how rangy his tools are and how fast he is, and he's got pop in his bat. We saw him hit a dinger off Zach Wheeler in spring training, but you look at him more so in that there's a chance that he has the season he just had at Double A again, you know, where we've seen from Alex Kirilloff when he's healthy is going to hit. I mean, he's just is going to hit when he's healthy. He wasn't great in the first half last year. He had I think a wrist or an ankle. And then, you know, was great in the second half and homered in four straight postseason games. So if you had to pick one prospect, Cooper, if you had to take a prospect, and if it is Royce, that's great too, because I love that upside. But if you're only choosing five, who would you take and why?
All right. So if I had to take a prospect, hear me out. It'd be Jordan Balazovic.
Okay.
Yeah. So neither hitter that we'd talk about, but I think you take probably three or four hitters on the team. And if you're going to take, you know, well, Barrios and then a prospect, I think I would go with another pitching prospect just to, because you got your hitters, you know what you got there. And just to ensure you can have stability in the starting rotation, at least like near the top for a while, I'd take Balazovic over Lewis or Kirilloff, despite those two maybe having a higher upside right now. I think it's just the pitching might be more necessary in the end.
Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the first body smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus is the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key. but so is having the right tools. Withing Smart Scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and get data from every weigh-in, syncing automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of Smart Scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you, but Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even knows who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus scale right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, that's withings.com, /MLB to get 25% off a body plus body composition scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off a body plus body composition scale.
Well, yeah, I agree, because I think, Derek Falvey and that, I mean, Derek Falvey was brought in to develop pitching, right? When he was in Cleveland, yeah. He was developing pitching at a super high level, and we've seen that still to this day. They just continue to churn out arms, and he was a big part of that, or was seen as a big part of that. But the funny thing is, like, since he's come, the pitching has improved mightily. The ERA has improved. The strikeout rate's improved. The bullpen was great. But it's been the bats, which is, I think, encouraging for us, because if they can develop bats, Cooper, consistently mm-hmm. the way that they have and the way that the system looks, I trust Derek Falvey and Thad Levine and the system to also churn out arms and be a top 10, you know, rotation and bullpen every single year. So that's a big reason why I'm excited about the future. I think your question was a really good one. I think there's a lot of strategy that would play into this as far as risk and reward that you get from some of these guys, how they're viewed, because it's just and also how do you value a pitching prospect over a solid hitter at the major league level like Jorge Polanco? You know, when pitching is at a higher price, it's needed more today. You saw it in free agency. That frontline starting pitcher is just yearned for. So if you have it potentially in Jordan Balazovic or Yoan Duran, you maybe want to keep that over Jorge Polanco, you know? So it is a really good question, I think. And I want to ask you, too, if this season, no matter what happens, these guys are going to enter free agency. And I remember you wrote a couple months ago, or maybe even a month ago, who's going to enter free agency after this year, right?
On right, Twins I Daily. Did that. Yeah.
Yes. So it's Nelly Cruz, Marwin Gonzalez, Jake Odorizzi, Trevor May, Yair Adrián. So those are the big guys, the big names. I might be missing one. I don't think I am, but who would be the biggest loss outside of course, King Nelly for you, Cooper, and why?
Of course, yeah. So Marwin you can replace with a guy in a year or two, maybe like Blankenhorn, Nick Gordon. I don't know if yeah. Nick Gordon can play, but yeah, Airy, same thing. Those two guys. Trevor May is interesting, but I mean, fireballing reliever. They can. I knew you'd bring up Duran. You know, maybe they got someone like him in the minors that can take that role. But it's got to be Odo. He's the number two starting pitcher in this rotation right now. And they got him on a nice 1-year deal right now. So just losing him for this whole year, he's probably going to get 20 mil per year, I'd say. I thought if he pitched a really good full year this year and then entered free agency, he'd have a chance to be the highest paid starting pitcher, because it's not a good. Great group like it was last year. So, yeah,
well, I feel Odo's bad getting for him paid too, Cooper.
For sure. Because, absolutely.
Well, I mean, if there's no season, these teams aren't getting revenue. And he also doesn't make his 17.8 million. I don't know if he's going to make that much. You know, I think he's free. It's going to be just fascinating to see, even with a short season, these contracts and what they look like and how greedy these owners get. I get it because the revenue's not coming in. But also, I think about it, and the money that you invested, you're not actually paying. So the Twins, for example, have like, what is it, $140 million payroll. They wouldn't pay that, right? They're paying the whole league together is paying forward $175 million or whatever it is. So they wouldn't pay that payroll, but they also wouldn't make any revenue. So you'd think that they just put that payroll back into next year. But when they lose these guys off the books, are they really going to get the payroll back up to $140 million? I think it's just going to be fascinating to see. And my goodness, Jake Odorizzi, after foregoing free agency where he probably – I mean, he tested the market, and he didn't think he was going to get like a 3-year, $50 million deal. I can't believe – I mean, I would have to think he would get Dallas Keuchel money. Is that like, you know, $360 million? He's better than Dallas Keuchel. I think that might have been better than Dallas
too.
Keuchel. And
right,
Bumgarner,
absolutely.
I mean – and Bumgarner took a quote-unquote pay cut. What was it, four for 85?
Right, like, yeah, pay cut.
I think
cut.
Jake absolutely can get there, and definitely. I think he would have. which sucks for him. And now it sucks even more if the season's canceled. Not only is he not going to make his qualifying offer, but he's probably not going to get paid as much, you know, in free agency, which just that's a bummer. You're going to continue on simulating, though, Cooper, for us at Twins Daily. I know you're doing month by month. How are our Twins doing in your simulation so far? Who are the all-stars? I haven't read. I just want to know, are the big questions, are we trending towards winning the Central? Who's on us? How are we looking in the American League? The all-stars, who are the top performers? Fill me in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I simulated July. I've been simulating month by month, as you said. First one went really good. They were like 20 or 15 games above 500 or so. Wow. Yeah, it was nice. Second month, similar, like five games above 500. I mean, that month, 20 at the end. Then June came and they went like 9-16. Started the month four games ahead of the Indians. They were one. But then I simulated July, and at the end, the Indians are on a roll. The Indians are 68-42, and the Twins are 66-45, 2.5 behind.
How about those White Sox?
They've been sitting around 500 all year, 54-56.
Yeah, well, 14 back. Seems accurate to me.
Right, yeah, that seems perfect, actually, not going to lie.
That's funny that they did that in the simulation with the Indians because, you know, that's what they did last year. Remember, they just were so hot last year in the middle of the summer, like as June waned on, and then they went and got Yasiel Puig. But that's interesting. So we're going to have to make a little comeback here, but it seems like a two-horse race.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, Tigers and Royals are doing their thing. But, yeah all-stars, Garver, Rogers, and Nelly Cruz. My favorite thing in this has to be the Marlins in the first wild card spot at this point in the season.
I would love that. I would love to see
It's great, yeah. But, yeah, not much more. Miguel Sano won the Home Run Derby, and there was a huge trade that simulated through. The Twins, I'm going to spoil this for you, acquired John Gray for Devin Smeltzer, wow. Brent Rooker, and Cody Stashek. Pretty
Can
good
I do
deal
that today?
There.
Can I do right? that today?
Right, that's what Matt said, too. Just like, come on, give me that. It's great.
That's funny. The game values Devin Smeltzer. Like, the game really has him in every rotation. They have him, when I play my player or whatever, Road to the Show, he's starting like every third day. Like, it's just crazy. It's crazy. He's in the three spot every 5 days, I should say. It's just... They love Dobnak and Smeltzer. They're in the rotation, and I like them too. But I don't know if the game is as high on Rich Hill and Kenta Maeda as we are. That's also something that I think comes into play during the simulations is that they're low on those guys, and also on Michael Pineda. Isn't he like 70 overall?
Yeah, but he's actually doing really well. He's let me check 2.23 ERA. I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
He's just doing. Yeah, he's doing well. It's weird.
Unreal. Yeah, so I want to say before I let you go that I actually picked Mitch Garver for my five Twins. I think I've been – I go through like these, you know, every given week or even every given month now as we sit here. I kind of think about Twins players and I kind of like favor certain players in different weeks. Like some weeks I'm like on a Mitch Garver kick and then other weeks I'm like Jorge Polanco doesn't get enough respect. And then some weeks I love Miguel Sano and I'm talking about him and I'm kind of on a Mitch Garver kick. So that's a big part of it. But when I do go on these kicks, I do appreciate what they do. I think Mitch Garver, I think they have him for four more years. I think this is his last year of pre-arb before he gets into arbitration. But I just love his approach. And I think because he's at a premium position at catcher, I think I would like to keep him. And even though they have Ryan Jeffers, they would lose Ryan Jeffers in this expansion draft. Yeah. So then I would also place a higher value on Mitch Garver because it's so hard to find a hitting catcher like him. Even if last year wasn't super legit, I think it was, or at least somewhat legit. I would like to keep someone like that around. What do you think about that, Cooper?
Yeah, I wrestled with Garver as well. In the end, I went with he's like a 29-year-old catcher who's had one good season. And would I take him over, you know, Polanco or Sano? I don't know. Probably not. It's tough, but he's definitely like the sixth or seventh guy on my list.
Wow, that's wild. No, I'm kidding. No, I understand that.
Right.
I think the premium position thing comes into play. I'm going to pretend it didn't hurt my feelings there. But thanks for coming on, Cooper, and don't game too hard. But I'm gonna whoop you up in this Twins Daily tournament. Maybe we'll have to get some streaming going or something.
Yeah, I would say the same, but I'm bad at the game, and I honestly don't stand a chance. I'm just here to have fun.
Yeah, well, I'm here to win. Thanks, Cooper.
Yeah. Bye.
Have a good one, bud.
You too. See ya.